It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Eric.
And I'm Chris.
And we are Audionauts, dissecting tracks of Walk Among Us, cut by cut.
Cut by cut.
Because it cuts like a knife, and it feels so right.
We're here today, we're talking about...
That was a big open, huh? Wait, you pretty feel good. The power behind it?
I was blown aback.
It's a good thing this is episode 3. People are either here or not.
You guys are in for all hell breaking loose.
Ooh, I like what you did there. You took the title of the song, but then you made it...
Worked it into...
Part of the chaos of everything that's going to be here. That's good. That's dead on, man. That's pretty solid. So this is the third song off the first album that was released third, and it's the second reference to eyeballs in three songs.
Nice. It's the only song out of the first three, not a whopping 1:41.
Is it?
1:47.
So here,
hell has broken loose.
Danzig is comfortable in his style. The Misfits are finding their groove. And from here, I think the songs are just going to slowly expand and then come back and... you don't have to look. We'll just make it up as we go. This is just part of a theorem. I want to start off with a defense of my Glenn Danzig is a literary mastermind.
Yeah.
First time all hell breaks loose comes from, ready for this, 1667.
Nice.
John Milton's Paradise Lost.
Awesome reference.
First time all hell breaks loose is used in literature.
This is where I am humbled at the feet of the literary genius that is you.
It falls apart real quick because Vampira is the next song. So it's, I don't want to give any spoilers. I'm just going to say, don't expect this theory to really hold a lot of water as we move down the line.
What gets better than Paradise Lost, though?
Exactly.
Oh, my.
I don't have a ton to say about All Hell Breaks Loose. You want to start off with something?
So part of my shtick is the complexity of like the lyrics. How many lyrics do you have to memorize? That are not repeating previous.
Right, quality versus quantity.
Yeah,
right.
Sure,
right.
Yeah.
What can they pack in
so
as few
far,
words as possible?
So far, in terms of the order of tracks we've done,
yeah,
we went from real, real simple,
yep,
pretty shallow in the lexicon of words used in the
song. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To 20 Eyes.
Yep.
I turned into a Martian. Not Teenagers from Mars, folks, which I, silly me. I turned into a Martian.
Let's keep all Martian turning songs in their respective categories.
Keep it straight,
exactly.
Chris.
Look, are you a teenager from Mars or are you turning into a Mars Martian? If you can't figure that out on this episode.
What if I'm a teenager turning, holy cow.
Oh my God. Yes, the puberty of teenagers or the puberty of Martians.
So, next song. A little more elaborate, a little more, complex in terms of this one. Not a whole lot of repetition. I mean, all hell breaking loose parts are recurring themes.
Right, right. You got to have a hook. You
but it's all it's breaking loose in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of things going on. So there's you have to memorize different lyrics for different verses in this one, okay? There are differences from verse to verse, which is
so
a
this
first.
Song is really, I mean, you're right. It is
he's
breaking
spreading
loose
his
all
wings.
The hell.
He's breaking,
Yeah, what is it? I mean, George Carlin said, I'm not worried about all hell breaking loose. I'm worried about part of it breaking loose and that it's going to be harder to detect. That he nails it right here. Yeah,
sure, yeah. So that's it. It's also... If you were to have listened to these songs in the order in which they were written, this whole album in general is a little quicker than
yeah.
the previous. And this is perhaps
what has the intensity of a first album released third.
Yeah,
I think that's what all bands should do. Is that's how you get over that sophomore hump. You record one album, you
first.
Shelve it, and then you release the second album first or third album second. Then you put in your first album, and people are like, my God. they just keep getting better and raw. And then you break up and you sue everybody associated with everything involved with the project.
Yeah.
That's your keys to success.
So this song, it's really hard to understand most of the lyrics, and they're all different this time.
Yeah.
So just when you thought you were going to get some campy sing-along, it's just chaos. The song is literally chaos. It disrupts the first two songs that you just listened to, but still good.
Yeah, well so. They give you what is possibly my all-time favorite Misfits line, which is, I send my murdergram to all those monster kids. It comes right back at me, signed in their parents' blood.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm surprised that Danzig's murdergrams never took off.
Yeah, I mean, he missed an opportunity, frankly.
I think when the lawyers look at it and they go, you know, you really can't. Like, the hitmen were like, look, that's not how we work.
Right.
Like, I'm not showing up holding balloons and a large knife, like, surprise! You know, because it's, you know, that's just awkward.
Well, so the first two songs aren't that. You know, 20 Ice is creepy, but in a kind of a campy way.
Yeah.
Martian has a campness to it. You know, I'm not.
This is upping the ante.
This is like.
Because there's nothing campy about a murdergram.
I am sending out a murdergram.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing a damn thing. The kids are sending it back in the blood.
Well, that's my question.
Yeah.
So if I send you a balloon gram, right? Or a clown gram.
Right.
Or
return to sender.
Or one of those sexy nurse grams.
Ooh.
Yeah. That maybe only exist in Tom Hanks films. They don't come back.
No, they pretty much stay where you send.
Exactly. They stay where you send, and then they go home. So if you send a murdergram, how is it coming back?
Yeah, it's
like, that's the worst customer service ever.
But it's like, got your murdergram, did what you said, return to sender.
Okay, so the parents' blood. All right, so let me get this right. I send a murdergram, right?
Message received, Glenn.
All right, so I send a murdergram to the monster's kids. So do you contact Glenn, and then he sends out the monstergram? Like, so he's like the booking manager? Like, does he figure this out?
He's the agent.
Because this is where I locked in on this song, is I have no idea how a murdergram works. Now, I will tell you, Jay-Z went and named a song Murdergram.
No.
I don't know if there's any relation. I think he just sounds cool.
Copyright that shit, Glenn.
Right? Glenn Danzig, you need to sue somebody. And then there was a woman named Holland Greco. She has like a band camp stuff. And her stuff's pretty good. She didn't do a cover of this song, so she's not going to make it on our list this week. But her album is called...
Murdergram.
Right. Nice. So I knock at the door. Ready? Okay, so you're a monster kid. We have sound effects in this episode.
Shit.
Our budget is through the roof. You're not getting paid double.
That was straight out of Charles Dickens' radio reenactment of...
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
You are not getting paid also as Foley artist, I'm just saying. So you send me the request, right? I need a murdergram.
No, I...
You're a monster kid.
Wait, which one... Who's the first person in the song, you or me?
Oh, so I'm sending the monster...
Who's the first person?
I'm sending the murdergram. I'm the I.
You're the I.
Right?
You've written a book...
Right. You are the monster kids.
But who? Me.
Right.
But me?
But who comes back to me? So I send a monstergram to the monster kids, right?
Oh,
am I sending the murdergram to the monster kids to kill them? No, because it's signed in the parents' blood. Or am I the murdergram sending it to the monster kids, not like little werewolves and vampires and... creatures from Black Lagoon.
We're talking Damien here.
Yeah, like we're talking like these kids are monsters. Kind of womp womp, right? Yeah.
Sorry, and then you had Satan's child.
Then the parents have to pinprick and send the murdergram receipt back.
You're flipping me. I'm getting all sorts of...
Who's sending what to where? Now, granted, it sounds great, but what the hell's going on?
Danzig put a bunch of words on a page that he could turn into.
No, he did not. He is a literary genius. There's.
Who but me could write this cruel book of cruel?
Yes. Now take your shirt off and do that.
This is central casting. I send my murdergram.
The central casting.
To
you don't mind
all these
on the couch.
Monster kids.
Yes.
I just went to some weird accent.
You
there.
Went. See, you went Shakespearean.
I did.
With
I kind of went. So here's my take.
Yeah.
Pick it apart as you will.
Yeah.
I've written a book. I've targeted you.
Uh-huh.
It's like a
Death Note.
well, what do you call it when you're the one who can see the things that no one else can see? Like, they live, like, he can see the monsters.
Oh, he's like,
he's got the sight.
Typically, yeah, okay, we'll say that.
Whatever you want to call it. Great little plug here. The Netflix series, The British Chicks. Sorry.
That's what it's called?
The British Ladies. No. Recent.
This is good because neither of us can remember any of the important details in the story. Just watched it with my
wife, two ladies. They both can see the demons. They all think they're crazy.
Right.
Great show. You should watch it.
But they have vision. They have sight. Yeah, what's it called? Like Brain Smasher or Demon Hater. It's way cooler than Buffy ever was.
Search the recent releases on Netflix. It's there, guys, folks. Anyway, he can see... He, the author of his book of evil cruelty,
yeah,
can identify.
That's what it's actually called, evil. My Diary of Evil Cruelty. Do you imagine like Glenn Danzig on his stomach on his bed with like his legs crossed, his cats around him?
And
he's like, dear evil cruelty.
I've got documented cases of people walking in on him laying bare chested, watching the tube, like, hey guys, no big deal.
You have documented cases.
Well, no, it's documented that these moments.
Oh,
happen.
Really?
Yes.
I walked in on a Danzig.
Shirtless. Whoa! On the couch.
Okay.
Watching TV. You know, yeah. Okay, I lost the kids.
Yeah.
So.
All suburbia breaking loose.
As mundane as you can get, folks.
Yeah.
But he's living it. He's living it. Black leather pants and.
So let's get back. So he has his book of evil recipes.
He has the sight.
Yeah.
He has identified you.
As the victim monster, or as the monster?
The monster kid.
Okay.
Someone capable.
Yeah.
Of bloodletting their parents.
Okay, and so now he's sending out the murder gram to kill them.
So he's basically giving you, you're like a sleeper cell, he's giving you the letter, the go.
So Max Allen Collins has a book series called Quarry. In it, Quarry is a guy who has a list of all the hitmen, because he used to be one, right?
Yeah.
So he steals his booking agent's list of hitmen.
Sure.
And what he does is he goes to the victims, or the presumed victims, and he says, for $5,000,
I'll tell you
who's going to kill you. For $10,000, I'll kill them.
Oh.
So this is basically what's happening, right? Danzig has this book. It's got naughty and nice, well, just naughty in it.
Yeah, naughty.
So this is Danzig is Santa's little helper, or Satan's little helper.
Danzig on a shelf.
Yes. Oh, he's so short. And that's how I got punched in the nose by Danzig.
Every episode, we're basically inventing a way to possibly get knocked the F out.
I think my tagline, what do they call that in a sitcom? What's the big quote in a sitcom when like characters have their taglines or their...
I honestly don't know.
This episode's going really great.
Yeah, I'm not pop culture that type of...
My catchphrase.
And
that's
how
Danzig broke my nose. Like, that should be its own sitcom, like How I Met Your Mother, How Danzig Broke My Nose. And every episode is this kid getting closer and closer to getting punched by Danzig.
There's a totally unrelated non sequitur, but Wesley Willis, you familiar with Wesley Willis?
Yeah, has a
song about how he knocked Batman out.
Yeah.
Great jam. I just think of Danzig right there.
Danzig
knocked me out.
he would too, even at like 63 or whatever he is.
I whoop Danzig's ass.
Yeah, no, I'm not that strong. So anyway, we've pretty much nailed this down, I think. That somehow somebody's sending monstergrams or sending Teddygrams. To murdergrams.
We've deconstructed.
To the monster kids, and somehow there's a receipt, a proof of
receipt
these.
Is a good word.
Yeah.
It's like
thanks, I invented
it. It's like when, what do they call that? When registered mail.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the receipt is, thanks Danzig, got your note in your parents' blood.
Wow. But are the parents dead? Are the parents the ones? Never mind. Let's stop with this.
The short answer is
yes. Okay. Let's stop with this, and we'll move on now to what movie this song is based on. Because this is mind numbing.
You love this one?
Yeah. I've actually seen this film.
Have you?
Mm.
I'm, you know, for no other reason than the reasons I'm about to mention. I may have to watch it.
It is why I watched it.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, but we have to talk about it.
Yeah, the 1972.
Or one.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah.
Oh, I have two in my
notes. Fact check.
Yeah, I know, and I pulled mine from Wikipedia.
Did you?
Yeah. Or IMDb. I don't know. Maybe there's a beef going on between those two.
Yeah, maybe. So it doesn't
matter.
Sometime
in the early 70s.
70-ish, one or two.
Picture, if you will, the bucolic suburban atmosphere of 1970s suburbia.
Twins of Evil.
Yes.
All right. Boasting. So if you're a Hammer Film production fan, this is a Hammer Film production.
Yep.
All right. A little cult there. Starring Peter Cushing and Damian Thomas and the real-life twins and former Playboy playmates, Mary and Madeline Collinson. Had to look at that name just to make
before
sure.
Before we get into the juicy bits, let's talk first. Peter Cushing.
Yep.
And Gustav Well.
Right. Who is?
Both in Rogue One.
Awesome. I did not make that connection.
And it stars Catherine Byron, no relation to the author, Caddy, who was Ryan's mom in Saving Private Ryan.
Okay.
And was on the TV show Perfect Strangers.
Valky Bartakamos?
Yes. Excuse me, Meepos? Cousin Larry. Yes, Meepos. Yes.
He has the Island of Meepos.
Yep.
I love that show.
So this is a film that has some severe cultural legacy.
Okay.
I mean, just in Peter Cushing alone, but...
Well, I know there were like a frenzy of sequels and possible prequels.
Well, this was the third film in the series.
It was. Well, yeah, and then loosely based on books, but quickly deviate from...
Yeah. From well, it deviates here. Yeah. And the deviation is amazing. So you want to go into talking about Mary and Madeline Collinson?
Well, I'll let you go deep on it. I'll just go shallow here. The highlights. It is a vampire flick in which two sisters.
Yes.
I guess I'm going into plot here too. But two sisters are, one is drawn to the dark. One is kind of kept in, you know, stays in the light, if you will, and caught in the middle of...
That's how you should raise all twins, I believe. Always raise one to be evil. Because you never know, you know, hedge your bets.
The tagline is, which is the virgin, which is the vampire?
Ooh.
Question mark.
Wow. Isn't that something you could easily tell? Like, which one eats garlic, which one explodes into flame when eating garlic?
Which, unlike the previous two entries in the series, this film contains only a brief vampire lesbian element.
That was Hammer. God bless them, man. Hammer made films that were... Oh, man, for my other show, I literally just finished watching Captain Kronos Vampire Hunter.
Okay, yeah.
You have to watch it.
I may have seen before, but...
It's tremendous.
Liar.
No, it is.
No, I'm a liar. Actually really enjoyable. I've never seen it.
So, yeah, it's the third in the Karnstein trilogy, and it was based on Carmilla by Sheridan Le Fanu.
Something like
Fanu.
That.
Le Fanu, yes, some French name. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was by Sheridan. C'est bon.
Baguette.
And Camilla the Vampire is one of the early, like, really popular vampire stories before Stoker, even. It was originally going to be called... Do you have the original title?
I don't.
Vampire Virgins.
Ooh,
yes.
No, I didn't get
that. Produced by Harry Fine. And then... Go ahead.
So an alternate title for the film, though, was... Twins of Dracula.
Yes. And the film was rewritten strictly because they found two twins naked in Playboy. They were like, we need this to be a movie. Yeah.
The holy grail of...
Someone in Hollywood was like, we've nailed this. Let's go. And it makes a ton of sense for Danzig to focus on this. If you've ever read any of his... What's the name of his publishing company? Devilotica? There's one fan out there right now who's screaming at me.
Yeah, well, he publishes comics. He does it. I mean,
yeah, I forgot Naked, She Angel, Devil, Lust.
Vampire-esque.
And Vampire at least always had a sense of like class and dignity.
Really?
No. I was hoping that despite the fact that I could try to sell a deep V-cut bathing suit
like
as classy.
That 80s V.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the Borat. But it always had a collar. So, you know, she was ready for a dinner party or a bloodletting. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, you know, the V-cut in the front kind of funneled the blood away.
Right.
You know, it doesn't pool about the bib area.
Dress for the victim you want. You know, like, you want boozy drunker guy. that's who you destroy and kill, right? Yeah, if you're attacking the dead, you know, if you're attacking rather the horrible and the evil, you want to lure them in like a Venus flytrap. If you want to go after just romantic girls hanging out in fields picking flowers, you dress as a count, you know, and you show up and you look like any member of Bauhaus.
And you be mysterious.
Ooh, that you missed that at home, but Chris just pulled an invisible cape over his face. And I'll tell you, my heart's fluttering.
Pantomime for the win.
Yes, pantomime podcasting. In this episode of Pantomime Podcasting, Eric goes against the wind.
He's doing it, folks. It's amazing. Take it from me.
It's never been a windier day. Who has absolutely,
at this point, probably less credibility than before you even heard my voice.
Could you imagine, like, all right, now I'm placing one hand up against what appears to be a wall, but it's not. Now the other hand comes up. Where am I going to go, folks?
What's worse than watching pantomime? Someone describing pantomime. Quick. Tell me a literary reference where someone is describing a pantomimed act.
There is not a single...
You've got one. You can't do it.
But if you do at home, feel free to look at our iTunes thing and give us a comment. All right, so I really have not a whole lot for All Hell Breaks Loose. I think we got to the good chunks. Do you have anything else? Do you have any misfacts this week?
Misfacts. I've got a random, just not unrelated trivia question.
Okay.
Okay? What in the...
I thought you were reaching for paper.
Nope.
Oh, you know this one off your cabeza. Okay. That's your head in Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. What is the first cover song ever performed live by the Misfits?
Ooh. The first cover song ever performed live.
As far as my research can tell.
Damn it. So, like, part of me, you don't want to even give me, like, hints or...
It's on the nose. You probably should at least...
It's either Elvis or Black Flag.
So keep running with that thought.
So it's Elvis... Trouble by Elvis. I know that Danzig's done that a couple of times.
Blue Christmas by Elvis.
Really?
It's the first cover.
The idea that we'll get into the Elvis, Danzig, they've never been seen in the same place kind of thing. You know?
And complete denial that he had any fascination with him.
Right,
yet.
Right. Elvis died in the early 80s. Okay, no?
That sounds right. I'm not a historian of
the Elvis. Misfits rise in the early 78. So yeah, okay.
He was in his Kung Fu, you know.
So Elvis's good career died in the early
70s. Yeah.
Danzig rebirthed it.
You know, Elvis had, he probably stole it from someone else, but he had the quote, an image is really hard to live up to, you know?
Ooh.
So or some paraphrasing there.
Oh, that's a whole nother episode where we can talk about do they live up to their
Danzig
image.
Danzig defies that, though. He lives up to that image.
You know what? Anybody can rock a mesh shirt. Not everybody can rock a mesh
shirt. Not everybody.
Not everybody can rock a mesh shirt. My grandmother wore one despite our biggest protestations. We were like, Grand, come on, for the love of God.
But Danzig.
Yeah, no one wants to see your werewolf tattoo, you know?
Or,
yeah. Yeah, no one cares. At this point, it just looks like a grape. Okay, so why don't we talk about some covers here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm going to start this week. Since I have been going with the rather more acoustic ones.
Yeah, folky.
Yep, this one is a blues, doo-wop, rhythm and blues kind of cat named Brown Bird, Rudy Relic. He had an album that was all Misfits covers. We Are 138, or what, I forget what it was called. Okay. But that's how he actually got my attention originally.
Yeah.
This was an album that he put together for his friend Esteban, called Raise Hell for Esteban.
Okay.
So this is a track off that. It was meant as a fundraiser. Is that right?
Like to hear it. Here it goes.
I gotta listen to the Murdergram part.
So he's got the daddy issues. He didn't want to take out his mom. just as daddy's blood in that. For in that.
You know, different families have different setups, Chris. Yeah. And sometimes in this day and age, you don't know and you don't presume. Right? So, so we've got a couple more on the list, but all of them are pretty much yours, I believe.
I really have...
No, I have one more, but go ahead.
You have one more? We'll alternate here. I got sick of it all. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you're going to... The pattern with me, folks, will be I'm a Violent World tribute album junkie. And this also, probably previously mentioned, big Revelation Records kind of guy. Sick of it all. Revelation Records. Yeah. The people shaken by the caliber men. They have been ripped in, broken by the death rock dancer. To be my partner, I'm a promise, so I love you. Faith is shaken at all, hell breaks loose. Yeah, evil is as evil as it hurts. Well, who but me corrupted for the cool ass in my burned grave. To all their bosses, it comes right back to me. Sending their breath, but at all, hell breaks loose. Their heart is breaking loose.
Again, that murder gram hitting at the right moment. Yeah. A little bit more traditional there in their telling of it.
Yeah, but sick of it all, man. You can't go...
Well, this one is The Brain Eaters, named after, obviously, a Misfits song.
Hell yeah, off this album.
Obviously. I mean, if you're a Misfits fan, you say obviously. If you're not a Misfits fan, you're... I don't know why you're listening quite yet, but...
Or you might just go, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So this is The Brain Eaters. This is a Bandcamp release, Legacy of Illegality.
Nice.
So I'm going to take
Puns
that...
for the win.
Even though it says All Hell Breaks Loose acoustic featuring Glenn Danzig, I'm going to probably know that Glenn, probably not a willing participant in his connection to this song besides writing it.
Oh,
so here we go. But I do like their take on it because it defies being a cover of a cover. Like, I mean, the only thing about this song... I twist her of you, I shake you by your collarbone, I stab your rib cage, broken bodies in a death row dance hall. Please be my partner. I love those background howls. Change there. We'll go out on that.
So those featuring Glenn Danzig.
Yeah. Again, like Glenn may not know he's featured in this song, which you got to respect the audacity of.
I love the wails. The
yeah.
Agonizing. So if I was in a coffee shop
yep.
or a bar
yep.
listening to Open Mike Night and yep. that song, I probably wouldn't pick up that was that song until he went to the chorus. I'd just be like, this is creepy. This is good.
Yeah, I'm a real fan of that kind of cover yeah. song where it's completely disassociated from the source material and it becomes something totally new. Yeah. There's a band that we'll hit on a little later called Los Misfits.
Yes.
And that's a little spoiler for future episodes.
Yeah.
Hernanzig.
Hernanzig.
I follow him on Instagram. He's a really... We've talked back and forth a couple times via email.
Oh, look at you dropping names.
Of course, man. Yeah. Super sweet guy. Super cool. This is your winner.
My winner? Now, and I do this...
How are you going to pronounce it?
I will embarrass myself. Well, no. We'll give the backstory. Obviously, so anyone... I just come right out with it. I'm tongue-in-cheek giving the win of cover to Glenn Danzig himself. Covering his own bleeping song. Folks, I am grinning ear to ear. Nothing is more satisfying to me than a man starting a new band.
Yep.
Covering his own music from a previous band.
Yeah, yeah.
But he couldn't get run away from fast enough. So this is Sam. Okay, so look, quick little trivia about Sam Hain.
Not how you say it.
Not how you're supposed to say it. The Gaelic time of year, the darker half of the year, right, is supposed to be Samhain.
Now,
if you had, I don't have the Gaelic.
There are thousands of kids out there sharpening their pitchforks based on your inability to pronounce it.
Probably.
Yes.
However, the funny part about that is Danzig et al.
Yeah.
Were so frustrated by their fans' inability to either, you know, just grasp that this was not an American word. Mm-hmm. It is not said how it, you know, how phonetically it looks.
I think he got a lot of mail for Samhain.
Who is Samhain?
Samhain, 11 Main Street,
Lodi, New Jersey. Are you Samhain?
Yeah. Where is he?
So out of complete frustration and desperation, and probably just to keep things going forward, they just caved in and said, "What the hell? What the f?
Yeah,
we're Samhain." So
you are giving.
So this is, and he's trying to pull the wool over your eyes a little bit, folks. This is Samhain or Samhain. With all hell.
Ooh, so he just dropped half the title. Does he say Daddy's Blood too there?
I totally missed. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what you were doing. You were dancing.
I am not a Samhain fan. I actually hate that cut.
Really?
Yeah,
I love that cover.
Do you?
Yeah. I love the drum, the heavy.
So the drum, the heavy metal, the drum, the death rock kind of like, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate the redoing of the song because it's a punk rock song to me.
Yeah.
It was not heavy metal, and he kind of was good, you know.
So a guy does a folk version of it, you're fine. A guy does a doo-wop version of it, you're fine.
It's just, it seems counter to the Danzig mythos to...
Danzig is a complicated
He's an enigma wrapped in whatever that is.
An ever-changing words that aren't coming out of my mouth. He is an ever-changing myriad of colors and expanse and evil and hatred. He is every shade of black.
Every shade of
black rainbow.
I appreciate Samhain only in that it was the natural progression into his Danzig band.
Oh, yeah.
Transformation. So that's it, though. I kind of skip over that whole era. I don't really dig a whole lot of it. I like that it slowed down a bit. I like the kind of the methodical tempo there, but anyway.
So yeah. we are running out of time. We've talked way longer about All Hell Breaks Loose than I actually thought possible.
We made it.
So much show.
Ooh.
There's my train.
Gotta catch it.
And how many murdergrams would you give this?
I give this...
Now, out of the mail week, so six days in a mail week, M-A-I-L, how many murdergrams would you give it?
How many can I get a day?
One murdergram a day. You get mail deliveries more than once.
The house just shook. Did you feel that?
I feel the earth shake under my feet. I feel the sky come tumbling down.
You're quick.
Yeah, you're stalling.
I will give it 4 letters signed in blood.
Well, out of 6?
Out of 6.
Wow, 4 out of 6 murdergrams, huh?
I was going the opposite.
I was going 5... murdergrams.
We're still adjacent.
So we're still adjacent scores. That's still a healthy smattering. I'm giving it a little bit higher this time, obviously. Yep. And unfortunately, we did this out of order, and we did not play... We did not... Usually, we've been closing with the covers.
With the winner.
So I can... Yeah, with the winner. So, screw you.
Peace out, folks.
I'm giving you this one again.